when I was talking about meditative stabilization, the fifth of the far-reaching attitudes, and there was another way of dividing the meditative stabilizations, and this way was according to their strength, and or according to the angle that they take. And so here, first we have calm abiding meditation. Okay, so the meditative stabilization of calm abiding meditation, which we're going to get into soon. And that's where we're trying just to learn to focus the mind single-pointedly on a virtuous object and just get the mind stable and calm so we can concentrate. And then the second type of meditative stabilization here was the meditative stabilization of special insight or vipassana. And this is a meditative stabilization in which we're able to analyze the object. So this is what you use when you meditate on subtle impermanence, when you meditate on emptiness. So it's an analytical mind that has strong concentration, but especially emphasizing the analytical part so that we can really understand reality. Because we need that kind of analytical mind to understand reality. And then the third meditative stabilization here is the meditative stabilization that combines both of those. In other words, it's a union of calm abiding and special insight. So that in this one, and this is the full definition of special insight, where you have an analytical mind that's able to analyze something like emptiness, and that analysis does not disturb the ability to concentrate. Yeah, because see, sometimes when you first develop the calm abiding, you know, calm abiding is just womp on one object. And if you start to analyze within that, your concentration goes, you know, because when you analyze, you're thinking about things from different ways and looking at them for different ways. So it's difficult to stay single-pointedly. And then if you just do the single-pointedness and the analytical meditation, the special insight, then sometimes you can't stay single-pointedly on it because you're analyzing. So at the beginning, those two kind of don't go so well together. So this third one is where you actually succeed in putting them together so that you can remain single-pointedly and analyze at the same time. Why isn't it under wisdom? It's showing the overlap between wisdom and concentration. Because here it's talking about meditative stabilizations. Then one of them is where you just do calm abiding. One is where you do kind of analysis and penetrative insight. And another meditative stabilization, you put the two of them together. So it's just talking about different kinds of meditative minds. Okay? So the six far-reaching attitudes aren't like separate chunks. They aren't like, you know, I mean, this is showing, it's like one meditation isn't just in one drawer. You know, you look at it this way and it can fit in that drawer. You look at it that way and it can fit in this drawer. Okay? I mean, especially like the fifth one on meditative stabilization, the whole metta meditation, the meditation on compassion. I mean, these are all things that you can remain single-pointedly on. So when we're talking about the fifth far-reaching attitude, it's talking about a meditative mind that you can apply to any of the other subjects of meditation in the Lam Rim. Is that making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
It has a certain element of analysis, but analysis doesn't mean sitting and thinking A plus B equals C and P's and Q's and like this in philosophy class, okay? But it has the element of close observation, okay? So it's not just concentrating on something, but it's closely observing the way things interrelate. Yeah. So even in what they call the Vipassana tradition, which is the Theravada tradition, okay, when they're doing, the Vipassana meditation, they aren't analyzing, like, let's say, going through logical reasoning, okay, but it's analysis in the sense that, you know, there's the mind that's noting all these different mental events and that therefore deduces that all there are mental events and there's no I that's self-sufficient that's controlling the whole ball game.
But as we would approach it in a long way.
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, but then it's like in the West, we think of analytical as being intellectual. And when the Tibetans say analytical, they don't mean intellectual. It's a really different sense of the word analytical. Yeah. And I think that's where we often get stuck when we think of analytical meditation. We think, oh, it's just up in your head. I do analytical meditation on death, so I'm just contemplating death up in my head. Yeah? And it really means, you know, analytical in the sense of really investigating. Maybe call it investigating meditation. Would that help a little bit? Yeah. The term analytical is a difficult one.